Velkommen til Digitaliseringspodden. Programlederne Jens Christian Bang og Dag Rustad.
Velkommen til Digitaliseringspodden. I dag vi fremdeles inne på Cyber Security Forum, og vi skal snakke om positioning, machine and identity.
Machine identity and ja.
Mm. Noe i den retning.
Spennende.
De som i studio Dag Rustad og Jens Christian Bang.
Ja.
Hei Dag.
Hei.
Ja. Skjønte du noe av hva jeg sa nå nettopp?
Ja, fordi jeg har fått en sånn crash course av Ben, vår nye gjest i studio, ja. Som, ja nå avslutter jeg navnet for navnet hans da, men som skal ta oss igjennom litt grann sitt foredrag.
Ja.
På dette området. Veldig spennende.
Mm. La oss introdusere ham med en gang.
Det switch to English.
Benjamin Searle. Som global head of channel I AppView X. Welcome to Digitaliseringspodden.
Thank you very much.
And just first of all, let's pronounce your last name correct.
first name Ben, last name Searle. Yeah.
Searle.
Yeah, absolutely okay, fine. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, sorry.
You're good.
So, before we dive into the presentation you had on stage just recently, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure.
Who's Ben? Where are you from?
Ben Searle. I'm the global head of channel at AppView X. I've been at AppView X now for 2.5 years. Been in the IT industry now for 15, 16 years, perhaps. I've shown my age a little bit now as well. Based out of London, have kind of always worked in the channel and always been working with partners and resellers and distribution and engaging in that manner. I like it. It's good for the soul.
East, speaking west, with people. South, north, London.
I'm just south of London, yeah. In a little county called Surrey.
Surrey. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
A little town called Woking.
And you know, of course, the obvious question then is, which club are you cheering for?
Oh, there's only one club in London. It's Arsenal.
It's Arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely. There's only one club.
So, but are you depressed after yesterday's game against Bayern?
No, not depressed. No, anxious maybe for the away leg, but we'll see how we go.
8 days.
Yeah, eight days. That's it. That's it. Yeah, big game.
All right. It's not a football pod.
It's a shame. I'd love to talk about it.
My cup of tea.
jumping into your presentation.
Sure.
Yeah. Or just hear a little about the AppView X.
Yeah.
What kind of company is that?
Sure. AppView X. So AppView X is a digital identity management company that has a core focus around automation. If I take the name as an example, the app is application centric. Everything we do within AppView X is application centric. So we want visibility, understanding, knowledge around the application, and everything we do relates back to the application. The view is kind of self-explanatory. We want to provide visibility, understanding of what exists, where it exists, and how it exists. And then the X is kind of a mathematical X.
Right.
So it's extensible. So we can be smart. We can change things. We can be progressive and diligent in what we do. And
but then is it a software?
It's a software company, yeah. And it's all built on automation.
And
right?
When they say ID, is it like a identity access management system?
It's not. No, it's centered around. So we have a number of pillars that exist within the automation platform, and this is a platform solution. Mm. Fundamentally, our core business is certificate lifecycle management. It's around managing certificates and what we would class as digital identities or machine identities, and then really kind of extrapolating that kind of. The knowledge around that and the kind of core function around that, and then providing that against other types of environments. So we can work within containerized Kubernetes environments, as an example. We can do things around PKI. We have a PKI as a service solution. And then we get into other areas of the business, like application delivery controllers, where we can all focus around automation. Again, automation is the critical thing that we provide here as well.
But when you say ID, it's more like the SSL certificates.
Yeah, SSL, also? TSS, yeah. SHA-1, SHA-2. I mean, it's kind of...
Yeah, because on the...
Yeah, it doesn't... It,
most
it,
people
it,
understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah, of course. And it doesn't really matter what type of certificate it is. We can manage it. It certainly doesn't matter what kind of CA it's coming from. You know, we're agnostic in that sense as well. Mm.
Coming back to your presentation,
sure.
You talked about the old known identities, computers,
yeah.
Phones, you know, the usual
sure.
identities we tend to know about.
Yeah.
But that has changed.
Significantly. So as you rightly mentioned, you know, we had today, even today still as we know it, we know laptops, desktops environments, we know server environments, we know IoT devices, routers, switches, whatever it may be. They're all physical devices, touchy-feely, I know where it is, I know where it sits. And they all have identities, right? We name them because we know where they are, we know what they're doing. If we now start to look at the heterogeneous and cloud, multi-cloud environments that exist, that's significantly changing. We now have Kubernetes environments, containerized environments, we have virtual machines, cloud. And so what we're actually doing now is we're naming these types of virtual environments as well. And they have identities, right, as well. We're naming them because they have identities.
They have to have it
yeah. because they're smart, they're learning, and they talk to other machines. And
but just not everyone that listen understand what a container is or what Kubernetes is.
Yeah.
Can you...
Yeah, so it's the ability to be able to distribute, let's say, you know, applications to a wider scale at a much faster scale. And within
so
those
virtual servers?
Yeah, virtual servers. Yeah. I mean, typically when, you know, back in the industry when you span up a VM or something like that, you had a particular kind of threshold that you could hit in terms of what you delivered, in terms of what you get with Kubernetes in that environment. It's kind of, because you're containerizing it, it's kind of expansive, right? You can do as much as you want. And within each of those environments, you know, the applications talk to each other, the containers talk to each other. Right. And so, you know, all of a sudden now that's an exponential growth. And one of the examples that I used in the presentation was, how do we identify digital identities and what does that look like? Well, if I take the example of the Ford Model T, that car, 1906, 95% mechanical engineered car, right? Maybe it had some form of electronics and lights in it, and maybe that existed, right? Now let's fast forward 100 years and let's take the model, the Tesla, the Model S, right? 90% an electronic car and 10% maybe mechanical engineering for the cars and the motor.
But still a car, right?
Now, in the 10 to 15 years, let's say the last 10 to 15 years since that's been existing, that car, did we ever have any concept of a cars talking to each other? Do we ever have any concept of cars talking to the cloud or being connected to the internet, for example?
Updating itself, software.
Yeah. No.
Software architecture, ultimately running off of software and electronics, microcomputers, microprocessors, whatever it may be, right? Mm. There was no idea of that happening, none at all. And so now, what we're actually saying is, well, the cars existed for 100 years, but in that last 10 to 15 years, that jump is significant, right? It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And it's applicable to the environments that we're dealing in on a day-to-day basis.
Our home, for example.
Our home. Let's take that as an example, right? Let's now talk about something like washing machines, refrigerators, right?
Yeah.
You know, my washing machine now knows how much I've put in it. It knows the weight. It knows how long it's going to take.
I can start it now from my phone.
You can start it from your phone, right? Yeah. It communicates to your phone. You can start from NFC, right? So, you know, again, that's a significant jump, right? And IoT is playing a huge part in this now. But again, we're naming them. They've all got identities. They've all got some sort of certificate that exists on it. Mm. And so how do we manage that? And then let's bring it back to the modern day. How do we manage that environment? You know, how do we get complete holistic visibility as to what exists, where it exists.
With servers, with virtual machines,
with cloud infrastructure, multi-cloud environment, whether it's AWS, Azure, whatever it may be. It's a minefield, right? It's a true, true minefield, right? And then, you know, if we now start to look ahead and let's start in what we consider to be the near future, and we start to talk about post-quantum cryptography as an example. Mm. Each of us today walked out of a house and we locked the door. We locked the door, we used a key and we locked it. We got into a car, arguably, and we probably got here and probably got out of that car and locked that car too, right? Now, if I say that post-quantum cryptography, and I say to you that all of those keys that you had, whether it's your car, whether it's a safe you have, whether it's something you use, if I wake up tomorrow and I say that there's a computer that says it can make a key to access all of those environments, and everything in your locks, anything that you've got, is all redundant based off of one key, that's post-quantum cryptography. There are post-quantum computers that will exist that will be able to break cryptography, that will be able to say, I have a key, I know what it is, and I can access it. Let's apply it back to the business, let's apply it back to that. You've got virtual houses everywhere. You've got data existing within those virtual houses. Tomorrow you wake up and someone's got a key that can access all of that. It's frightening, right?
Yeah.
It's frightening. Mm. And so what the industry is now doing, it's now saying, well, okay, we need to look at shortening that length. And Google, as an example, the 90 days from Google is one of those aspects where they're saying, well, actually, what we want to do is rotate certificates and change the lock into each of those every 90 days. Or, sorry, not change the lock, change the key every 90 days. It's still the same lock, but I'll change the key to it. And so the bad actor will only have 90 days to access that information or access that data, and not the 13 months that they have at the moment. So that's one step towards it. The next step is the industry working on, okay, well, how do I change the keys? How do I change all the locks? Where do all the locks exist? How do I change all of those locks and all of the keys? How do I know where they exist? What do I apply it to first? What's most important? So all of those things are things that are, you know, things we have to be thinking about in the industry and things that people have to be thinking about.
Sounds like I should switch to be a locksmith.
You could do. That could be the way to go. That could be the way to go. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's exponential times, right? Things are growing at exponential rate. And so we've got to prepare.
What kind of challenges do we see with this kind of growth?
Yeah, the challenges are containing that growth, right? Or also the visibility to that growth as well. I mean, typically today, you know, we still see customers that have no understanding as to where all of those certificates exist. And they've got no understanding as to who owns those certificates as well, right? And, you know, with the siloed workplace that still exists, nobody's, you know, 100% communicative, 100% in love with each other within the IT industry. Some of those silos operate independently. And if they operate independently, they're doing things independent of the business. And they're creating their own certificates or buying their own certificates and applying it and provisioning it to their own environments. And so the business has no visibility of that too. If that person leaves, and that certificate's tied back to an application that's critical, as an example, and it expires, and it's a simple expiry, right? I've got a year on it, it's expired after a year. If I've got no visibility of that, that application falls down, right? That means business is going to fall down, we're going to stop work, we've got to put engineering, we've got to stop everything we're doing and put engineering to it to find out where the problem lies, where it exists. But if I apply automation to that environment and I apply visibility and I get a view, I get an understanding, I know what exists, I know where it is, I can prevent that. I can prevent that happening. And that's typically a very, very standard, simple example, but it's still happening today.
Yeah.
Still happening today. I think it was only a few weeks ago, a few months ago, maybe Elon Musk tweeted. And he tweeted, the SpaceX shuttle launch is... it stopped today because there is a server expired on a certificate, and we've got to renew it. And that was, and that's the beauty of it, right? It can bring down a shuttle launch. One certificate can bring down a shuttle launch on the server, and that's exactly what's happening.
Do you think it was still on the ground?
Yeah. Hopefully. Hopefully. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you very much, Benjamin, for sharing this knowledge with us. AI-spalten, individer og læring. Dette er en lightning talk fra teamet som jobber med læringsplattformen AO. Med meg har jeg Christian Andersen Dyrkorn, som daglig jobber med AI eller KI. Hei Christian!
Hei hei!
Du, I dag skulle du snakke om stillingsbeskrivelser, og du snakker jo ikke om noe uten at du drar med deg AI oppi det hele.
Nei, jeg kommer nok til å dra inn litt AI her også, for det nemlig mulig å bruke AI-teknologi også inn mot stillingsbeskrivelser, selv om det kanskje ikke så mange som tenker på det, så det mulig altså, det vil jeg snakke mer om.
Før vi begynner på den tekniske delen, hva skal man med en stillingsbeskrivelse?
Det man skal med en stillingsbeskrivelse egentlig bare å sørge for at enhver person i et selskap eller en organisasjon har en god oversikt over hva som det overordnede målet for stillingen de innehar. De burde vite om det noen essensielle sertifiseringer som de må ha for å kunne være I sin stilling. Man burde også vite litt grann om hvilke personlige egenskaper som godt egnet for den stillingen man I. For det veldig viktig ting å tenke på, for å sørge for at du trives I den stillingen du har.
Jeg har hørt at hvis du blir trua til å jobbe med noe som du ikke har soft skill for, så blir du syk over tid.
Det veldig sant, og det tror jeg et aspekt som kanskje ikke nok folk tenker på, akkurat dette med personlige egenskaper og soft skills. Og så vil jeg si at det siste i en stillingsbeskrivelse, som ikke finnes veldig mange steder i dag, nettopp dette med kompetansekrav. Det å ha en god oversikt i stillingsbeskrivelsen på hvilke kompetanser det jeg burde fokusere på når jeg har denne stillingen, slik at jeg virkelig kan sørge for at jeg lykkes i den stillingen jeg gjør. For det er en stor forskjell på å være i en stilling og lykkes i en stilling.
Skal det være kvantifiserbare kompetansebeskrivelser da, eller?
Det må være kvantifiserbare kompetansebeskrivelser, det må det være. Og det må være på en måte mulig å ha det i et visst format over hele bedriften eller hele organisasjonen med klare på en måte, læringsutbyttebeskrivelser og med klare nivåbeskrivelser for hver kompetanse. Slik at man enklere kan se på en måte hvor man ligger på de ulike kompetansene, og også hvilke utviklingsløp da, som det ligger muligheter for.
For hver enkel person?
For hver enkel person, ja.
Eller for selskapet totalt? Eller begge deler?
Nei, det blir jo litt begge deler da. Man vil jo se at hvis hvert individ i et selskap eller i en bedrift har en god utvikling og lærer seg nye ting, får opparbeidet seg nye kompetanser, så vil man jo se at det kommer til å ha en innvirkning på selskapet eller bedriften som helhet.
Men bare når du sier det på den måten, så tenker jeg, hvis du har en plan over det for hver eneste person, så er det også noe som veldig motiverende. Og det jo også noe som bygger en kultur. Altså det ikke noen stagnasjon i den bedriften som hele tiden har en plan for hver eneste ansatt med hvor han skal den, eller hun skal den.
Jeg helt enig i det. Jeg tror akkurat dette med kultur ekstremt viktig. Det å prøve å sørge for at man har en læringskultur der man jobber, det tror jeg ekstremt sunt for hvert enkelt individ og for selskapet som helhet. Man har jo på en måte, man vet jo dette med at omstillingsevne for eksempel i et selskap ekstremt viktig for å overleve på lang sikt. For å ta eksempel med Nokas og telefonen. De turte på en måte ikke å ta det nye steget da. Sånn Apple og sånn kom på banen med smarttelefoner, så var Nokia litt sånn støkk i fortiden.
Ja.
Med disse gamle, harde, udødelige mobiltelefonene deres. Batteriet varte en uke, men det holder ikke alltid. Og man vet jo, det kan jo være mange årsaker til hvorfor det ble som det ble, men det jo i hvert fall et godt eksempel på at man trenger omstillingsevne, og man trenger nye kompetanser i et selskap for å overleve på lang sikt.
Og nå er Nokia bare burner phones.
Ja, de har trettet ned et litt marked.
Men la oss dra oss litt inn på AI-delen igjen, og stillingsbeskrivelser. Hvordan... Lager du, for du lager stillingsbeskrivelser ved hjelp av AI?
Ja, det riktig. Og det starter jo med denne kompetansedatabasen, som helt sikkert har blitt nevnt tidligere, hvor vi har oversikt over 7000 stillinger fra SSB sin stillingskatalog, med tilhørende nøkkelkompetanser for hver enkelt stilling, og da også læringsutbyttebeskrivelse og nivåbeskrivelser. For hver enkelt nøkkelkompetanse, for hver enkelt stilling.
Men nøkkelkompetanseområder, altså det har du et eksempel på nøkkelkompetanse?
Ja, for eksempel kommunikasjon, det kan være lederegenskaper, det kan være budsjettering, det kan være etisk ledelse.
Ja, det skjønner jeg. Og så sa du sa læringsutbytte, beskrivelse?
Ja.
Hva det da?
Det sier noe om, hvis du besitter den nøkkelkompetansen, hva det du da kan? Ja. Så i stedet for at du bare har på en måte titlen kommunikasjon, så vil læringsutbyttet si noe om at, da vil læringsutbyttet si noe om, hvis du besitter kommunikasjon i denne stillingen, da det dette du kan.
Ja.
Så litt sånn som en læreplan på skolen der, for eksempel. Læringsutbyttet jo, da liksom, det sier noe om, hvis du har en firer i dette faget, da kan du det og det. Har du en femmer, da kan du det.
Ja.
Og det liksom litt det samme formatet vi har prøvd å følge da, i denne databasen.
Ja, for det var nivåbeskrivelsen det siste du sa, firer og femmer.
Ja.
Ja.
Ja, og vi har da tre nivåer per kompetanse på den databasen.
Ja, riktig.
Så, og det jeg gjør når jeg lager en stillingsbeskrivelse, da bruker jeg en kombinasjon av AI, bruke AI til å på en måte hjelpe meg med å identifisere et overordnet mål for en gitt stilling, Og så bruker jeg AI-en til å hjelpe meg med å finne de anbefalte personlighetstrekkene, altså de på en måte de soft skillsene som best egnet for stillingen. Og så bruker jeg også AI-en til å finne mer sånne spesifikke sertifiseringsbehov for en stilling. Så for eksempel for en vekter så har du veldig har du noen spesifikke sertifiseringer. Og for en annen stilling så vil du ha andre spesifikke sertifiseringer. Så disse...
For det flere og flere stillinger som regulert med lovgivning.
Ja, ja, det det. Og så til slutt så, så vil jeg legge inn data om, om nøkkelkompetanser for stillingen i stillingsbeskrivelsen. Og det da ofte mellom 12 og 17 nøkkelkompetanser for enhver stilling. Og dette brukes jo da for å informere personen som har denne stillingsbeskrivelsen om hvilke kompetanser de burde fokusere på for å virkelig lykkes i stillingen. Og jeg vil jo si at nettopp dette med kompetansekravene er kanskje det mest essensielle da, i stillingsbeskrivelsen. Og også kanskje det som er, som man ikke ser så mye per dags dato i stillingsbeskrivelser i selskaper.
Nei, det superspennende det du snakker om. Det liksom HR på speed.
Altså, ja,
for det,
ja.
For det, du får jo på en måte vært mye mer treffsikker da, med det du skal gjøre for å jobbe med ansatte.
Det som veldig kult at med på en måte den databasen som vi implementerer inn i stillingsbeskrivelser, så det en veldig på en måte standardisert måte å snakke om kompetanse på, noe som egentlig ikke har vært så veldig enkelt i arbeidslivet tidligere. Og det jo nettopp dette vi også sikter litt mot, da, å prøve å gjøre utvikling av menneskelige ressurser mer på en måte konkretisert og mer datadrevet, og mer liksom...
Gjennom stillingsbeskrivelser.
Ja, gjennom stillingsbeskrivelser og gjennom et klart standardisert språk for kompetanse.
Men Christian, hvis noen trenger hjelp av deg for å få generert opp stillingsbeskrivelser i sin egen virksomhet, da kan de bare kontakte deg på alreadyon.com, legge igjen en melding på webben der, eller sende en melding til post@alreadyon.com, og så dukker den på et mystisk vis opp i din e-post.
Det gjør den absolutt. Jeg er helt klar for å hjelpe.
Er dette du synes er moro å snakke om?
Jeg synes det er veldig gøy å snakke om det, og jeg har jo laget noen stillingsbeskrivelser allerede for folk tidligere, og fått veldig god feedback på det. Og det liksom, det ligger et hakk over.
Bra. Tusen takk, Christian.
Takk for at du hørte på Digitaliseringspodden, levert av Computer World og Already On.